org.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We have Dr. John Alexander. The book is UFOs, Myths, Conspiracies, and Realities. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. The question, of course, on the table with Dr. Alexander is, I guess, the deliberate or not-so-deliberate nature of how these so-called conspiracies and things work out. What's your reaction?
My reaction is you got a lot of folks with too much time on their hands. Because you get to out why of would they do it?
Basement?
I don't know, but it's clear.
Get out of the basement, young man.
I'm sorry?
I said it's a lot of guys that live in mom's basement that need to come upstairs and get some air.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, it's obvious that there's a lot of folks out there, and I guess the equivalent today would be what happens on many of these blogs, where people just get in and spend an inordinate amount of time, you know, jerking people's chains. And I've seen it, you know, repeatedly in this field. And unfortunately, it muddies the water quite a bit. One of the things we're getting far away from here and seems to happen in this field is that they concentrate on, you know, these conspiracies and things that they disagree with, as opposed to my main thrust, which is, hey, some of this stuff is real and very important and deserves to be researched. But, you know, the UFO community would much rather play in the mud than get up and try to get to the stars.
Yeah, and that's an important point you raise, and I think we should qualify our conversation. You absolutely do agree that there is a real UFO phenomenon at the core of this mystery, that it deserves investigation, but it perhaps isn't as pervasive and as filled with glitz and bells and whistles like the conspiracy buffs and the pop culture would have us believe. So you are agreeing that there is something worthy of study here, just
well,
to get you on the record on that.
And my that's absolutely true. And my most important point is that we need to clean this up and make it so that reputable scientists can get into the field without, you know, potentially damaging their career. Right now, this is totally toxic, and I can give examples that, you know, where I was attacked. I'll give you one in Scientific American, where they came in and said basically that, you know, I couldn't be trusted because I believed in things that most scientists were skeptical of. And the point was that the article was on non-lethal weapons, not UFOs or phenomenology, that they use these ad hominem attacks to, you know, attack my personal credibility. And that's, you know, anybody on the outside who looks at these people, and there's a number of scientists who are frankly interested but do not want their name associated because of the potential degradation. If you take guys like Bob John, and this is not in the UFO field, but was in, you know, studying remote viewing and psychokinesis, this is an individual who was the dean of engineering at Princeton, you know, the dean, and yet, you know, got taken on and had, you can't say his career was destroyed, but he certainly had a lot of bumps and bruises from the routine scientific community just because he said, I'll study this objectively. That's what we've got to get away from.
Well, you find yourself in the curious position of getting it from both sides. It's like you have a target on your backside and your front side.
Well,
not
the third side,
that
I throw the third side in there, and that's some of the fundamentalist religion who don't want to hear about these things either.
No, they don't. Well, you mentioned in your book a very interesting meeting that you had with Ben Rich. In the middle of the meeting, you had the earthquake happen. That was
no, that's Jacques Vallée.
Or Jacques Vallée you were meeting with and the earthquake happened. That's an interesting
incident. Yeah, that's in Jacques. Jacques and I have served on boards. We've known each other for decades. But that particular meeting took place when at the big San Francisco quake during the World Series.
Right. how about listing off for us, just rattle off a list of credible, worthy UFO cases that you feel indicate the, you know, the actual reality of this phenomenon and that are deserving of scrutiny and research. Could you give us a list of, you supply us a list at the book.
Well, I can't do all of them by any stretch of the imagination. I think they go on. In fact, one of the things I do at the beginning of a book is I list a couple of minor cases you never heard of. Two of them, my brothers were involved. Two more, my son was involved. And the point of that is that most UFO sightings are never reported to anybody. And in cases like that, they come from credible sources. So there's got to be literally millions of those kinds of observations out there. Now, the cases that I definitely like, for instance, I put Bent Waters at the top of the heap. That is one in which the evidence keeps getting stronger and stronger. You get many of these phenomenal cases. I mean, we had mentioned crash retrievals, and we may want to come back to that. But usually, the more you look at that, the more it sort of dissipates over time. Bentwater is strong, at least 80 witnesses, many of them in the PRP. These are Air Force people in the Personnel Reliability Program, meaning that we know a lot about them. They've had psychological testing, they've taken P-tests, so we know they're not on drugs, and yet more and more, you know, firsthand witnesses, particularly like Jim Peniston, the first time I called him when he said, you mean the one I touched? You know, and I'm pretty convinced that probably did happen. You've got, the base commander or deputy base commander, Chuck Halt, who went out there, you know, with the notion that they were going to resolve the thing rather quickly, instead has a, you know, life-changing experience of his own. And many, many more. That would be at the kind of at the top of the list. Phoenix Lights is a great case. Here again, thousands of people saw it, and you look at the, you know, the simple answer, oh, they dropped some flares over, over southwest of Phoenix, and you go, wait a minute, you know, this thing started in Henderson, maybe farther up, but, you know, then seen over Kingman, Prescott, Phoenix, all the way to Tucson, certainly not flares, and then
well, the flares occurred 2 hours later, right?
Yeah, it's okay. A different incident. The other thing about both of these cases that I've mentioned, they're not singular events. I mean, I think in the perception of most civilians, they were not in this field, these are fleeting things seen at night or whatnot. And reality is that, no, many of them recur. Another case that fits into this category is Gulf Breeze. I mean, that went on for years.
Okay, but then the thing I have a problem with when it regards to Gulf Breeze is not that cases occurred, but one particular character, one Ed Walters, whether he contributed to some of the sideshow about that case, partly because at one time they found what looked to be a model of a UFO hidden in the attic of one of the homes that he built.
Yeah, well, I would suggest you go look at Bruce McAbee's website, because he did a paper early on that was, you know, 55 sightings without Ed. So this is not...
That's the point. You know, I'm not disagreeing with you here. I understand that Dr. McAbee has a lot of information. I wanted to separate this because that's one of the big problems we run into in the UFO field. There may be some factual information, and then it's intermingled with this nonsense. And that's why we have problems trying to understand what's going on.
I went to Gulf Breeze, and I won't go into the whole. I tell in the book, I tell the Men in Black story that happened there. But what impressed me...
Oh, that is a story I want to hear about. But you know what? Well, we're just about out of time with this segment, so I really think we should push that over to our next segment about Men in Black, because we always want to hear about Men in Black. You know, whether there are Men in Black or whether it's just, you know, one of these crazy illusions or hoaxes within the fabric of the UFO field. Our guest, Dr. John Alexander, the book is called UFOs, Myths, Conspiracies, and Realities, and I think we're focusing on all three here. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, this is Tamar from Namecheap. We're a domain name and web hosting company, and we really care about our customers. With domain name purchases, Namecheap offers free SSL and free WhoisGuard for a year to protect your identity from spammers. Most importantly, we care about you. If you'd like to learn more, please visit us at radio.namecheap.com, radio.namecheap.com for web hosting and domain name specials. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Namecheap or become a fan of ours on Facebook at facebook.com/Namecheap. See you online.
Fate Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, March 11th, 2011. Gold opened this morning at $14,1290. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $14,4932, $724.66 for a half ounce, or $362.33 for a quarter ounce. That's $14,4932, $724.66, and $362.33.
The Constitution and the Bill of Rights have been reduced to old relics politicians ignore, trample with their outlandish, overreaching policies. Your support of the Campaign for Liberty stands in the way of this insidious process. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I've teamed up with the Campaign for Liberty to offer the authentic proof quarter ounce pure gold coin. For only $390 plus shipping, Midas will donate $100 to this incredible organization. Help fight big government by ordering your gold coin at 800-686-2237. You get to win twice by owning gold and fighting an overreaching government. Call 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Alex has told you that the Mideast uprisings over food prices and shortages caused by fuel costs are spreading worldwide. We're seeing the impact right here in the United States. Ethanol that was supposed to reduce petroleum use and fuel prices hit a 30-month high in February, and pump prices are expected to reach $5 a gallon. Because of shipping costs, food is being priced out of the reach of millions of Americans with an expected 35% jump in the next 60 days. Move quickly while you can still afford it, and eFoods Direct will pay your shipping costs for you. For the best-tasting, long-term storable food, you pay nothing for shipping and can put every dollar into food at today's prices. eFoods Direct, food so delicious you can serve it tonight or save it for the future. Take advantage of free shipping by calling 800-409-5633. On the web, eFoodsDirect.com/Alex, 800-409-5633, or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793, 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you want to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out on iTunes.
So we return with Dr. John Alexander. The book is UFOs, Myths, Conspiracies, and Realities. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. And so I interrupted you as you were talking about Gulf Breeze. because you brought up the dreaded MIB.
Well, wait a minute, John. You whipped out, you put on your wraparound shades at the end of your talk there at the UFO Congress, and you whipped out a neuralizer and you zapped everybody. So are you one of the men in black?
Well, what was missing from that is I actually have a picture there with Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith and me all dressed up. And unfortunately, the slide went by too fast. As I said, the neuralizer I did get from Scott Rosenberg, who created it. No, this was, again, one of those events that, you know, you couldn't stage. What had happened was, I mean, you know, right cast of characters. I was from Los Alamos. I was traveling with a group of three other folks who came from the Skunk Works, literally. And we had been down at Special Operations Command to give a briefing on certain technology proposals, and that's in Tampa. And so the next day we were to have a meeting at Hurlburt Field, which is to the east of Pensacola. So the notion was that we would give the briefing one day, we would fly up to Pensacola, stay there. I was going to drop everybody off and go over and see Gulf Breeze. Well, rain came in, our flights got delayed and delayed, and so when we got to Pensacola, it was now just getting dark, and so I've got to get over there. And lo and behold, the rental car company gives us a four-door, large, very, very dark green sedan that certainly looks like a black sedan. We're still dressed up. I was going to get into, you know, more comfortable clothes, but we were still in coats and ties, black suits and all of that. And so it was too late. So I told them what we were going to do, and they were kind of interested and whatnot. So, of course, I said, then we went down to the beach at Gulf Breeze and show up, and there we were, definitely the men in black.
But as far as you're concerned, there is no real man in black phenomenon in the UFO field. Is that correct?
Well, it's certainly not humans, if it is. So there have certainly been reports over time, but if you remember, many of them early on talk about people who had clothes that don't wrinkle and go out and just disappear. You know, humans don't do that.
Try to eat Jell-O with forks.
As I know, the...
With forks? Wait a minute.
Remember, my premise in the last bit of the book says that whatever we're dealing with is terribly complex, and there are no simple answers. And part of the problem that I see in the UFO community is they want simple answers. If we're a little grays from Zeta Reticuli, I think most of them would be happy with that, just because you can get a grasp on it. Whereas I suggest, if you look at these phenomena, they're far more complex than we ever anticipated. And as I put at the end of the book, we're not about to solve this problem. We're not even asking the right questions yet. And hence that leads me to why I think we need to be able to get, you know, the best scientific minds involved. But if they keep getting contaminated by just, you know, mere association, that's not likely to happen.
Let me ask you the obvious question here about conspiracies. A feeling on the part of some people in the UFO field that the government is taking advantage of the confusion and the arguments and all the debates that go on in the UFO field and injecting a little bit of, you know, foreplay or something. They're involved. Do you think the government does anything? Is there any disinformation in the UFO field?
I can't say never. Now, let me give you a specific example that was classified for many, many years, and that had to do with the development of the U-2, and which, of course, was flying at about 90,000 feet, and you would get commercial pilots who were saying, I saw something above me, and it must be a UFO, because nothing could fly that high, when, in fact, yes, there were things flying that high, and they would get spotted periodically. And officially, you know, the government was very happy to hear about UFOs. I suspect you're going to get a bit of that again, and that is because of rapid expansion of remotely piloted vehicles and the kinds of things that they're going to do. You're familiar with Predator, I'm sure. But there's now a host of sensors that run from little tiny things you can put in a backpack to Global Hawk, which is, you know, transcontinental aircraft that can stay up for 36 hours. So there's going to be a lot more sightings of things that are really kind of hard to make out, and those are frankly quite technologically savvy. George Knapp did a great study here about something that fell down near Needles, Arizona, almost assuredly a UAV, because helicopters come in right behind us, swoop and pick it up and that sort of thing. So probably a test vehicle. I also tell people rather frequently that, you know, don't be surprised that strange things fly in the desert. The area to the north of where I am here is where we developed the U-2, the SR-71, the stealth aircraft, and a host of others. So there are strange things that fly out there. That does not make them E.T.
Correct. And we never can be fully sure at what level our exotic secret black project technology has attained. And I'm sure if you were flying around and you were driving out in the desert in 79-80 and a stealth fighter or bomber flew over you and you had your radio on, you saw a UFO. Well, this brings me to another. You mentioned you're out in Vegas, Sarah, and it is a hotbed for technological development. Why don't you tell us about your relationship with Robert Bigelow and the NIDS, the National Institute of Discovery Science? I believe you were managing director there for a number of years. What is Bigelow's interest in UFOs and in the near-death experience realm? I understand he has a very, very avid interest in NDEs, related possibly to the passing of his son, I've heard. Why don't you give us a just kind of a thumbnail sketch on how you were became involved with NIDS, and then we'll go into some of the projects that NIDS has been involved with.
Well, NIDS was another serendipitous event. I was actually hosting a small meeting at my house in Santa Fe talking about alternative energy sources and things like this. It was a private group at the house. And over a weekend, and Sunday morning, we're in the kitchen getting ready to, I lived in Santa Fe as opposed to Los Alamos, and getting ready to head to the Albuquerque airport, and the phone rings, and this guy says, you know, hi, I'm Robert Bigelow, I've heard about you, have you got anything interesting going on?
I said, well, tell you what, that's so interesting, I'm going to make it a cliffhanger. And we're going to have the second part of that question in a moment after we pause to take care of some business. Dr. John Alexander joining us. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockaways, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
This is Alex Jones with five good reasons you should consider buying a solar power generator. Number one, new climate legislation could easily double or triple your electric bill. Number two, our new energy czar wants to control how much power your electric company allows you to have. It's true. Total government control of electricity in the name of smart grid technology is coming. Number three, in some areas of the country, the power grid is dangerously overloaded. And now new socialist legislation is only compounding the problem. Number four, dangerous weather is always a threat to local grids. Every year, thousands of families lose their power from weather-related outages. Number five, A solar power generator provides powerful backup, insurance, and peace of mind. Folks, I really believe in the solar power generators offered by Solutions from Science, one of my oldest sponsors. You can get more information at www.mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com. Remember, the government doesn't own the sun, so go to mysolarbackup.com or call 1-877-327-0365.
This special announcement is brought to you by Renaissance Charge.
Have you ever wondered if you could make your car run on 100% electric power for free? It is now possible. How about a simple device that is both a super efficient motor and a free energy generator at the same time? What if this could also be used to restore useless batteries and save you lots of money? Because our customers asked for it, we have organized a Renaissance Charge Conference Workshop on July 29th to July 31st at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho. Not only will you see these fascinating energizers, but you will be able to build some alongside genius inventor John Bedini. Participate in this truly historic event featuring our cutting-edge alternative energy, Tesla technology. Register early for the best seats and advanced workshop by visiting rcharge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Philip Rodno. You're listening to Paracast, one of the most informative shows out there. So listen closely.
We return, cliffhanger afoot. We have Dr. John Alexander as our guest. I'm Gene Steinberg. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. You're in the Paracast, and you got a call from Robert Bigelow. He found you somewhere. Tell us about that call.
Well, he had, you know, just searched around, and he was known for Sunday morning phone calls. That's when he catches up on stuff. So anyway, I said, heard you're interested in these areas. You got anything of interest? And then arranged to fly over and came over. We talked in general, and I had introduced him to, among things, Ferris Williams, who was working on some advanced theories. He had been at Los Alamos and was now elsewhere. And he had decided that he wanted to create an organization. And he did have intense personal interest in the two areas that you mentioned, continuation of consciousness and UFOs. UFOs came from some sightings that I know his parents had had and grandparents. Continuation of consciousness, you mentioned the unfortunate incident that he had lost his son. One of the things that surprised me, I had actually seen him once before, but had not met him. And this was at the conference that John Mack had held at MIT. He and Dave Pritchard had one on abductions earlier, and he had shown up there. What I didn't know at the time is his son had just died. And so obviously this was an issue that was kind of forefront of his personal consciousness. So we discussed how to build such an organization. He actually looked at the Santa Fe Institute and thought about taking that over, just buying it. And he said, well, the problem there is you had Murray Gell-Mann, who was a Nobel physicist, and some pretty big egos. Probably wouldn't work, so decided to create what became the National Institute of Discovery Science. Well, the one point that Bob and I disagreed on, and I agreed to come over on a part-time basis. I had just retired a second time from University of California, which actually runs the national lab. And what I proposed was that we ought to get together and collect a lot of observations and from that develop what the organization ought to look like. Being an engineer, Bob picked up his pen and went over and says, we got these two fields and here are the sub-elements under each one. And following the golden rule, we did it his way, of course. But no, I would correct. I was not the director. We actually brought in Colm Kelleher, who did a phenomenal job as the guy who ran things from day to day. Again, I was on basically a half-time basis because I was continuing to do work, particularly in non-lethal weapons and other areas for the government. So I've always had multifaceted interests, if you will. So anyway, from that, we created it. One of the misperceptions, I think, has to do with Skinwalker Ranch. That's actually a working ranch, but had heard about it, and some very strange things going on. And I actually
I was one of the first investigators up there, by the way. I was there. I was the one that actually gave, Tom Gorham and Terry Sherman, Bigelow's number, also the number of Lawrence Rockefeller, and before he could make the call to see if these gentlemen would be interested in buying the ranch and doing something with it, similar to what NIDS eventually did, Robert Bigelow found out about the UFO sightings up there and went ahead and called him on his own.
Well, but I'd like to point out, and Chris, you're well aware of this, that the issues there were not just UFOs. I mean, the kinds of incidents that went on there are just kind of mind-boggling. And hence, this gets back to my thing about we ought to be looking at things broader rather than labeling them up front and then setting certain expectations about what the parameters are. I think that's been one of that's the fatal correct. Flaws in the field.
Yep.
Is that,
they got the blinders on.
Yeah, we say we're only going to study this much and say, a lot of other stuff that's related to this. As some know, I have keep throwing out the line, maybe somebody will bite sooner or later, to do a step-back conference where we can get people who have had broad exposure and have them get together and just put up on a board, and we call them monstergrams. Here are the observations, but without assigning values to them. In other words, they're not UFOs or poltergeist or near death or whatnot. They say, this is what we see. And then in stepping back and then doing the macro pattern analysis and say, how do these pieces go together? Or do they? I mean, maybe they don't. My notion is that consciousness is a very important piece of whatever it is that we're exploring.
Right. We can't even define consciousness, let alone factor it into all these mysteries. One of the things towards the end of the book that you mention is your idea of precognitive sentient phenomena and the way that these, especially the Skinwalker Ranch would be a classic illustration of this, where the phenomena tends to be one step ahead of the researchers and tends to play with you. And you actually use my term, the trickster. You're one of the first people that I've seen actually equate some of this stuff to the trickster in the sense of it is playing with us. It's jerking us around. And, of course, we've talked with George Knapp here on the Paracast, and he related the story of the camera being focused on another camera, security camera, and having the one camera go down and have all the wires pulled out, and the other camera didn't pick up anything. Now, how do you explain that?
Well, I've included that case in the book because it's so spectacular and a classic example. You had camera one looking at camera two. You're on a second and a third time lapse, 24/7. You know when it happened, and it's just it literally can't happen. All of the things that happened could not have happened between frames. And to make matters more complex is the cattle at the time of the incident were kind of milling around. And what we knew was anytime somebody approached the cattle or dogs or anything, they would scatter, and did not happen.
Well, speaking of cattle, the very disturbing incident when the rancher and his wife were out in the field checking on calves, and they were literally in broad daylight in the same field within maybe 300 yards of another cow and calf they just checked, and they turn around and go back, and the darn thing has been eviscerated, really dramatically, with no evidence of what had done it, except that it looked like a sharp implement, like a knife had been used on the animal.
That's another case I've included in the book because it is so spectacular. Most cattle mutilations, you don't know when it occurs. I mean, people say, how can that happen? Well, turns out that, ranchers sometimes don't see cattle for a month or so if they're out grazing on their own. So when you run across a dead cow, you don't know exactly when it happened. This happened within, 45 to 50 minutes. And in broad daylight, open field, and one of the things that I mentioned in there, they said, well, everybody talks about the blood ran into the ground. So I had the guys go to a butcher shop and come out with blood, pour it on the ground, and, you could go by weeks later and say, blood was poured on the ground there. Yeah. And at the site where the cattle, this young calf had been mutilated, no blood.
Yeah, and we're talking 5-6 gallons of blood and fluids that were missing.
You cannot exsanguinate that rapidly. And again, in an open field,
within sight of the rancher.
Yeah, remember that this is an area where they shoot cattle rustlers.
So they don't mess
the
around.
The idea that you're going to do this in broad daylight is just not happening.
Exactly. Now, here's something I haven't heard mentioned much. This was told to me by...
Here's something that we have to mention right now.
Okay.
We have Dr. John Alexander. The book is UFOs, Myths, and Conspiracies and Realities, all that stuff in one big bucket. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in...
The Paracast.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-877-804-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV right now to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HDTV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV. So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV. 1-877-804-MY-TV. Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV. 1-877-804-MY-TV.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's UTOPIA Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Going solar for cheap is as easy as 1, 2, 3. If you want to go solar but thought the setup costs were too high, now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200. Don't laugh! We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch our introduction video at 123cheapsolarvideo.com. The video is free, but it won't last long. Save money on electric bills and get off the grid. Go to 123cheapsolarvideo.com right now. Our website again is 123cheapsolarvideo.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You've entered another dimension. You've entered the Paracast.
Our guest is Dr. John Alexander. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You are here in the Paracast, and Chris has been doing some hard questioning of Dr. Alexander with regard to the investigations involving the Skinwalker Ranch, the involvement of Robert Bigelow, and maybe later we're going to talk about, if you have any knowledge of it, Dr. Alexander. Chris, you want to pick up from here?
Sure. We could do a whole show just on the Skinwalker Ranch case, John. Honestly, it's one of the most important, I think, pivotal cases ever, because we have a world-class scientific effort that's monitoring the area. And this brings to mind a question that's been on the minds of a lot of people that have been very interested in this ongoing case, and that is, are we ever going to see any more about this case? Are we going to see papers published? Are we going to see any other books? One of the disappointments of Hunt for the Skinwalker, George Ann Colm's book, was that there was no real data in there in terms of photographs, graphs, any sort of identification of micro patterns, that sort of thing. There's no mention of the strange metallic rods that were found on a mutilated cow, which I found very intriguing that Terry told me about.
But the rods were examined. I mean, that's why it's interesting, because I've seen that mattered about on the blogs. It was element 115. What absolute nonsense.
Well, yeah.
These were from a lamp. You know, basically, it were lights, old light systems that were there. That one is a classic case of how the information gets so grossly distorted.
Yeah.
You know, A, defies common sense, and B, it just gets out of hand, and, you know, people pick it up and start running with it. And
if those things had been element 115, you would have needed a forklift to pick them up.
Well, no. If those ever exist, they come into physical reality for tiny, tiny fractions of a second. They're so unstable.
Right.
You certainly would not have metal rods like that.
Right.
And again, we knew absolutely what they were.
are we going to see anything? You know, one of the complaints that you constantly hear about Robert Bigelow being a very well-heeled private individual, obviously he has rights to, you know, retain the confidentiality of any data that his team gathers. But do you think he feels any sort of compulsion to share with other researchers like myself? And I could rattle off a list of other objective, you know, fairly, I think, grounded researchers that, that possibly could help. And if some of this data was shared with a qualified members of the research community, perhaps more heads are better than one. Perhaps we can maybe solve a couple of these puzzles. Does he have, to your knowledge, does he have any inclination to do this?
Short answer is no.
Right.
No. Yeah. Now, there were a number of papers that were up on the NIDS website.
Yeah. And there were, and they're very good, too.
That's, as far as I know, has been taken down. So I'm not sure that you'll see it repeated. Now, Bob has gone on to other areas. He has some minor interest, I think, in, you know, he keeps his finger in the pie here. But remember, what they're doing is vitally important. And that is that, you know, Bigelow Aerospace, most people are not aware that you have two satellites circling the Earth as we speak that are owned by him. You know,
right.
private individual, not government.
And NASA has contracted him to provide modules, I think, for the International Space Station. Correct me if I'm wrong.
You know, eventually, and it looks like the business is getting ready to expand again. He had shot off the two. Now, interestingly, in order to put them into orbit, he had to go to the Russians, and they had launched out of Ukraine. One of the problems there, of course, is that the Russians recognized that they, you know, kind of had a lock on the market and quadrupled the prices. And what I wanted to mention that, you know, the forward, the introduction to my book is written by Bert Rutan. And as we mentioned, he's the one who circumnavigated the world and won the N-Series X Prize and is just a world-class aerospace engineer. And he had done, when they put Mike Melville into space the first time, he had created Spaceship One, the White Knight, to lift it to orbit, the station refueling, command and control, two rocket engine designs, and did all that for $25 million. Bob is doing the same thing in space, and I had access to the numbers. I had actually written this in Winning the War when I had warned that we had a very narrow window to maintain our advantage, which we have since relinquished. My guesstimate was that he had a 30-to-1 cost advantage over NASA, and that was based on cubic space available. What both Bigelow and Bert Rutan have been doing is attacking the business model. And says, you know, you don't need governments to keep you in space, and it can be done much more effectively with private industry. In my view, that's huge. You know,
yeah.
Even compared to UFOs, that's huge. I mean, that's here today, very practical. So,
getting back to the ranch, and I do before I get back to the ranch, I do. I admire Bigelow's dedication and the amount of money he's investing in this effort, and I do wish him the best of success in this endeavor. But let's get back to the ranch again before we move on. I, back in 2004, was contacted by a researcher who had heard a rumor that Jack Sarfati was looking into something he was told while in England. At a dinner with Nick Cook and Uri Geller about a possible murders of security personnel on the ranch in Utah. And Sarfati was looking into this and trying to get to the bottom of it. He didn't tell my friend not to say anything, so the friend, of course, asked me. I made just an innocent remark on a small little bulletin board, and for the next 2 weeks had to withstand the wrath of Sarfati. And last year, he came forward after Robert Bigelow made a very interesting comment in a New York Times article about aliens and the possibility of them being hostile. And to your knowledge, has anyone suffered any sort of ill effects from being on the ranch in close proximity to what we both agree are very strange, phenomenal events?
No. Now, you know, there is the story. When Terry sold the ranch, there was an incident that happened a short time before that. And some bad things happened, but it wasn't to people. He had these blue balls that he said were floating at a very low level and over the
I was
ranch.
On the phone with Terry when this happened, by the way.
Well,
I literally was on the phone.
The dogs? Yeah.
Yeah, when they got melted.
Yeah.
In Coleman,
well,
in George's
we
book,
think,
they missed
it. There again, there's an assumption here. It is that as they went off, you know, and then he didn't find them, and the assumption is that the little grease spots, if you will, were the dogs.
Yep.
And that, as you know, scared him because particularly of his kids, said, you know, they might get antagonistic and have bad things happen.
Yeah, I was on, again, I was on the phone literally with Terry during that incident, and I was very dismayed to see the date as being incorrect. I'm a meticulous documentarian when it comes to these types of reports, and Colm and George had the date April of 95 when it actually occurred in August 96, which I pointed out in a review of the book. I love the book. I recommend it to people. But, you know, you never know how accurate certain things are. And, you know, this rumor that Sarfati, you know, was chasing down and publicly and, you know, announced it last year came from a fairly good source. So I felt obliged to get an official response from you on that, because if anybody would know about something like that, it would be you. Obviously, it would be very difficult to cover up deaths of that nature, but
yeah,
I just think it's like...
Certainly not. Yeah. And one of the problems you hear about is you get into murders, and you can go off in a whole new conspiracy stream there, and you go, but
yep.
where are the bodies?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, where are the bodies?
If you have a question or a comment about the Paracast, write us, news@theparacast.com. Once again, that's news@theparacast.com. Before we go into all those conspiracy streams, I've got some of my own. We're talking to Dr. John Alexander. The co-host is... Ooh, listen to that noise. They're after me. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.